Beyond the Mic with Sean Dillon.
We're joined on the star line by stand-up comedian, writer, producer. His latest Netflix original special is Steve Trevino, Simple Man. He has a very funny YouTube series, the Steve Trevino and Captain Evil podcast, coming to a city near you. We welcome back America's favorite husband, Steve Trevino.
I'm so excited. I fell in love. Let me tell you why I fell in love with Lubbock, Texas, and Texas Tech in particular. You know, you guys have such great alumni. Josh Abbott asked me to do a charity for him out there in Lubbock, which I agreed to. And the amount of love that he gets from Texas Tech alumni is just absolutely phenomenal. And it was just, it was a beautiful thing to see. And, you know, it was really heartwarming to see the way. And by the way, that little facility we did it at that hotel that I stay at, it's fancy schmancy, man. Oh, Lubbock's coming up.
Steve, let's go beyond the mic. I warned you I was going to ask you this on social media, so you can't give me any excuses. What was it with the Smokey the Bear shirt on Christmas Eve? You forced Captain Evil to put that damn goofy Christmas hat on you.
Well, when you're a kid and you go, Dad, why are you wearing that? It's embarrassing, you know, and now I know because it's comfortable. You know, I don't even know where I got that shirt. Like, I don't buy clothes. People give me clothes, and I find the comfortable ones, and
I just wear comfortable shirts.
I didn't think to myself, oh, like my wife, oh, it's Christmas morning. I better wear, you know, Christmas. I put on clothes, and that's what I do. You know, so then she comes out. She's like, well, you got to wear something Christmas. And I'm like, it's Christmas Eve. There's a Christmas tree behind us. I think people know it's Christmas.
Happy 2025, my friend. How is the Good Life Tour going with stops in Canada and Europe coming up?
Well, so my first time to Europe, Canada, we've been very successful. Going to Europe is going to be a little scary, but, you know, being a little Texas kid who grew up in a very small town, to think to myself, you know, I had big dreams and I knew that I was going to make it as a comedian. It's over what I dreamed. You know, I never in my head thought, oh, one of these days I will be touring the world doing stand-up comedy. But, you know, here we are. And it's crazy to think that it's just relatable humor. And my humor is very family man and very small town Texas and very simple man. And I didn't think that it would resonate in places like Los Angeles and New York City and Chicago and now Europe. So, it has been a true blessing, and I'm just enjoying the ride.
Family humor is always relatable. So which is harder, writing comedy or touring to support your wife's shopping habit?
Touring to support the shop. You know, I do own a very beautiful home, and people see my home and they go, wow, what's it like to live here? And I go, I don't know. Ask my wife. I'm in the same Marriotts I'm always in on the weekends. It's leaving home is the hardest. And people ask me all the time, where is your favorite place to perform? And my answer to that is on stage. It doesn't matter if I'm in Amarillo or Lubbock or New Mexico or wherever I'm at, I just want to be on stage. They pay me to leave the house. They pay me to travel. They pay me to pack my bags. Performing for the people, man, that's the free part. That's the fun part.
When your wife is known by Target employees by her first name, that's when you're in trouble, my friend. Steve Trevino out on the Simple Man Tour right now, and he joins us for the Rocking 8. 8 random questions, just like last time. All you got to do is answer with the first thing that comes to your mind. There is no pressure.
Man.
What's the most weight you've ever benched at one time?
315.
I know you're a big Josh Abbott fan. You've supported musician friends of yours. So what's the last music album you bought?
Ooh, that's a tough one because, you know, nowadays everything's on Spotify or YouTube Music or whatever. I have been listening to a lot of Jason Bolin, and I have not met Jason Bolin. So if he's listening to this, I'd love to meet him. But for whatever reason, I put that album on and I've been listening to it. Oh, and Luke Combs' Songs to My Father. My son showed me that album, and I practically cried all the way on the plane. I forget where we were going, but my son goes, listen to this album. And holy crap, is that not my life? It was a beautiful album.
How about the first gift your wife ever gave you?
Ooh, first, you know, she doesn't give me many gifts. The gift of herself, I guess, but
that doesn't count.
One time, and this has nothing to do with my birthday or Christmas or anything like that, I got Bell's palsy, and you know, I talk about it on my stand-up, and I came home from the doctor, and she had put newspaper over all the mirrors so I wouldn't have to see my Bell's palsy face, and that was quite a gift, and it was very thoughtful, and something as simple as that I thought was really sweet of my wife to give me.
As a married man of 15 years to my wife, Joanna, it's the little things that matter the most to us.
Truly matter.
What's the strangest talent you have?
Ooh, I'm double jointed, so I can get that going pretty good. And not to be vulgar, but I can fart on command.
Now that is pure talent.
I'm not
going to
do
talent.
It on the show, but it is a very good talent. My son thinks it's really cool.
Steve, what's the best whiskey you've ever had?
Ooh, that's a tough one because I've had some amazing whiskey.
So what's your best whiskey you've ever had, and what's your daily driver?
Daily driver is a Crown Royal or a Rebecca Creek. That's my daily driver, just to sip on, put it on ice. It's easy to drink, you know, very, very tasty. But Rebecca Creek has a bottle called Double Spanish Oak.
Wow.
And it is mind-blowing how good it is. I mean, it is, and there's not many left. My friends at Rebecca Creek tell me that there's only like 100 bottles left. And if you find them at a liquor store, buy it. Because right now they're selling it online for $600.
Sheesh.
But it is so delicious, and it's a little sweet. You got to be careful, though, because it's 126 proof.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Your first tattoo, Steve, was of what, where, and you were how old?
I was 18 years old. I'm a big Texas history buff, and I love Texas history. And I'm a diehard Texan, so.
Come and take it.
Come and take it. Yep. And, you know, from there, the tattoos went crazy. I have them all, shoulders, chest, everywhere. I'm the only guy that's ever probably taken a nap getting a tattoo. It is very soothing to me.
What's the favorite roller coaster you've ever been on?
Oof. Well, being married to my wife is probably my favorite roller coaster. The ups, the downs, the, you know, the peaks, the valleys.
Yeah, but you can't get off that roller coaster.
You can't get off that. And she refuses to get on it. So.
Who attempted to kiss who first, you or your wife?
Oh, me, 100%. I pursued my wife. Basically, I wore her down where she was like, okay, fine. That's how hard I pursued my wife. And I was the one that kissed her. And I thought to myself, I better not lose this one. So that's why we ended up together. But to go back to favorite roller coaster, there's a roller coaster in Magic Mountain, Six Flags in California, where you lay down and you feel like you're flying. And it wasn't crazy, but it just the feeling of the, you felt free, and it was easy to ride. It was just fun. I do love the 3D coasters at all of the Universal Studios, like the Spider-Man and the Transformers, but I would have to say the one where I feel like I'm flying is probably my favorite.
Now she wears you down daily.
Every day wears me out. That's what I get. She's like, oh, you sure you want this? And I'm like, no, I do. And I'm like, ah, maybe I wasn't so sure.
Steve Trevino on the Simple Man Tour, and he joins us beyond the mic for the back half. Steve, you have a process of getting into a rhythm for a comedy set. You have to do the set over and over again and again, knowing where each bit goes and how it flows. How do you overcome the difficulty of getting back into the flow right after a holiday break?
It's amazing you say that, and that says a lot about you as a fan of comedy, because a lot of people don't realize that what we do is an art, and it's hard, and when you're doing it every day or every week, you do get in a rhythm and you do know the beats and you know, and I'm at the point, and I'm really excited for Lubbock to see it. This is what they're going to see is what we're going to film for our next special in March. So they're already going to see what's almost going to be, I would say, 90% of the new special. But yes, I've taken 3 weeks off. It'll be almost 4 weeks by the time I get to Lubbock. I will tell you that it makes me funnier, and it, because I'm on my toes and I'm not lazy and I have to be sharp because I'm thinking about, oh crap, what was next? What did I say here? And I end up actually writing more jokes because of my instincts and me being on my toes, as opposed to being very robotic and going, okay, let me just go through the motions. I know that this act works. When I go to Lubbock, it's going to be one of those like, oh man, I really got to be on top of it. So I find my brain working harder and I have more fun because I'm more alert and I'm a little scared. So it just makes me a better stand-up when I come back. Now, after Lubbock, those people are going to get the same robotic Steve. But but Lubbock is going to be my – I mean, I had the issue after COVID. I was scared out of my mind. Hadn't been on stage in almost a year. And I thought to myself, can I even still do this? And I had to get back on stage and figure it out.
Performing without a net. Now, have you ever gone back to a section like, I'm going to do jokes A, B, C, D, in the middle of D, think, wait a minute, did I skip B?
Happens all the time. Happens all the time where I go, oh man, I missed an entire chunk here. And then, you know, I have out-of-body experiences where, and I'm sure you do too, where you're doing your thing, but you're thinking of something else, right? So I will have out-of-body experiences where I'm like in my head having a whole conversation with myself about, oh my gosh, I forgot to do the family picture bit. But does it fit over here? But I'm still doing my act. But in my head, I'm having this debate. Well, where do I put it? And, well, can I just go back? And then, you know what? Oh, I can sneak it in here. So absolutely, where I'm having these conversations in my head while I'm doing my act to fix because I skipped B to get A back. And then, you know, so absolutely. And I think that, you know, I've been doing this now over 20 years. I don't think you're a professional comedian until you've done it 20 years. You know, when I walk on that stage, the audience doesn't know that I'm having a conversation in my head. The audience doesn't know that I missed a beat because I didn't let them know, because I'm a pro, because I know how to perform, how to handle every situation. I've been doing crummy bar gigs to the OR at the Comedy Store, to some rich person that hired me to do their wedding, but the dance floor is completely empty and I've had to figure out every situation. So by now it's like the audience will never know that I'm sick, that I'm having a bad day, that I missed a beat or missed a joke, because I'm a professional, you know.
Quote, I'm a simple man. I live with my wife. They do dumb shit and I come reported, end quote.
That's it.
What was the last oops that Renee was like, oh, talk about that? I mean, some of these experiences that do you hold back for yourself, or is everything fair game for a set?
Everything's fair game. And yesterday, literally yesterday, it's so funny. You're like a mind reader. Yesterday, I walk into the playroom and she's decorating a Christmas tree. And I go, what are you doing? Christmas was a week ago. And she goes, well, it's pretty. And I ordered it and it came late. I still want to put it up. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, and by the way, nine full Christmas trees in our home. Nine. Oh, I take it back. There's 10.
I only have four.
Do you have time? Let's have some fun. You have time? Okay, there's one.
If you want to see the video, go to beyondthemic.com and I'll show you the whole thing.
Well, I have to take off 40 pillows to go to bed. 40 decorative pillows.
Now, my wife has a pillow fort on her bed. She has 8 pillows. I have 3. Steve, if people haven't been to a Steve Trevino show, what are they missing?
Oh, man. You know what? It's a slice of life. It's fun. It's no politics. It's taking a mirror and holding it up to yourself and realizing that life and your relationship is normal and that it's not, you're not the only one. It is an hour and a half where you get to sit back, laugh, forget about everything. You don't have to talk to your spouse. There's faith driven. It's family driven. It is America driven. And I think we need that in this world that we're living in, and it's patriotic and it's got heart, but I don't think there's anybody that does what I do. And the fact that I will make you laugh for the entire hour, but at the same time, like Simple Man, it makes you think and it makes you appreciate your parents. Simple Man made you appreciate your hardworking dad. You know, it made you appreciate where you came from, and it really touches people. And this set is no different. I mean, this set is about heart and about, you know, praying with your kids and America. And I mean, it's just great. And I think that even though I use strong language in my set, it's very family and it's very heartfelt. And I think people need to hear it. I can't tell you how many times people say, you saved my marriage. You made me feel normal. Oh, we have those same arguments. Oh, we go through the same things and we thought we were alone. So, you know, to me, it's much more than stand up. It's much more than just going out to a show and getting a laugh. It is an experience.
Since we last talked, you had your first daddy-daughter dance. Here's the question. Who led, you or her?
Well, let me tell you, dude, I'm glad you brought that up because I do need to write that joke. Man, I could not have been any more excited. I went out, I bought clothes, I bought her clothes. I got a corsage, you know, the whole thing. We're going to do daddy-daughter dance. She looks beautiful. She's wearing her crown. She's got a little purse and her little shoes. And I mean, I'm not kidding you. I am awake the night before thinking in my head, oh my God, I'm going to dance with my daughter, me and her. It's going to be beautiful. And we get there and she ditches me.
Wow.
She goes and plays with her friends. I'm sitting at a table with a bunch of dads holding her little purse and holding her little crown. And at the end of the night, we get in the car. She peed herself and fell asleep on the way home. And I thought to myself, now I know what my wife must feel when we go to Vegas. Like when we go to Vegas, my wife's thinking, oh, I'm going to have Steve to myself. We're going to get dressed up. We're going to have a nice date and we're going to have fun. No, I bail on her. I go to the craps table. And then at the end of the night, I pee myself and pass out.
What kind of craps player are you? Are you a pass line?
Very aggressive. I'm all the hard ways, all the way across. I'm either leaving there with all the casino's money or they're taking all of my money. There is no in between.
One of these days, I'll have to tell you about the $1,000 hard six.
Oh, buddy, I have had the hard ways up to $1,000 before and hit three or four of them. And I mean, there's nothing better. There's nothing better.
How comfortable was it recording your special at home and how did it change you?
It's a level of comfort. You know, I feel comfortable. I feel at home. You know, I filmed most of my specials in Texas just because I love Texas. I love the Texas fans. And you know, you look at the Buddy Holly Theater and you think, man, you know, that might actually be a great place for me to film in March if they'll have me back, right?
Come on, you're always welcome.
But it's about comfort and it's about being at home and it's about seeing faces in the audience that are like me, that are Texans. And I always told my wife, you know, she always says, well, you're going to alienate the rest of the country. And I said, well, if I can only tour Texas like my friends Josh Abbott and Randy and make $1 million doing it, man, I couldn't be happier with that kind of life. So, you know, we haven't changed the attitude as to where we're going to film, hopefully Texas. There is some talk about doing the Ryman Theater in Nashville, which I would do because I'm such a country music fan. But for my wife, too, I mean, my wife is the producer. She's the director. And to have her comfortable and me comfortable, it just has made for a very successful combination. I mean, here we are. I did Good Morning America because my special was number 2 on Netflix and stayed in the top 10 longer than anybody's special this year. I don't know. Nate Bargatze might be kicking me off my little pedestal, but you know, we were in the top 10 and here we are, some little kids from South Texas doing what we love, and to be on Netflix and be in the top 10 for, gosh, I forget how many weeks. I mean, it was insane. And, you know, to get invited to do Good Morning America. And then the night before, I took my son to go see the Islanders play the Rangers in Madison Square Garden. And literally, I was one of the celebrities they showed on the Jumbotron. They were like, Steve Trevino, Simple Man, Netflix, number two in the nation. You know, it's mind-blowing. But I don't want to change that formula, and I don't want to change who I am and what I am. And that's part of the reason I live in Texas and not L.A. That's part of the reason I cut my own yard and coach my kid in baseball and, you know, ride horses with my daughter. I mean, it has to be I can't change. And a lot of comedians, they get success and wealth, and you see them change. And you see them become different people, and they're just not funny anymore because they lose the relatability. And I refuse to do that.
Steve, how did your creativity change from the beginning in comedy to today?
In the beginning, I just wanted to get a laugh. And remember, I started at 19 years old, so not a lot to talk about other than chasing women and hanging out in the bars. So now it's deeper as a grown man with children and married man. I think different. There's a different thought process to how I deliver a joke, what I want my act to be. You know, kind of going back to the conversation earlier where I go, I don't want to just be funny. I want people to feel what I'm saying, feel what I'm going through, understand the struggles that me and my wife were having. So it's much deeper. You know, it was very superficial in the beginning and physical and can I get a laugh? And if I want to fart in the mic to get a laugh, I would do it. And now it's more thoughtful and it's more about delivering a message of faith, family, and America.
Garrett and Delilah have changed you in so many ways.
Oh, a million.
What's the one thing you want to show each of them in this world?
To be a good person, to be kind, you know, to put themselves in other people's shoes. I think people struggle with that. I think people always look inward, you know, look what they did to me. Look what happened to me. That person was mean to me. Instead of going, why was that person mean to you? Right? Maybe that person is struggling. Maybe that person is not happy. Maybe that person doesn't have good parents. Maybe that person has a reason for acting the way they act. And all you're thinking about is yourself. So to be selfless, to be helpful, to be kind, you know, I bring them along when I raise money for veterans so they can see that my stand-up is not only about making money for my family. We affect thousands and thousands of veterans with Helicopters for Heroes. We've raised over $4 million in 12 years that go directly to veterans. So, you know, those are the things I want for my kids is to be humble, kind, thoughtful, to not always make it about themselves, put other people first. That's how I live my life. And I almost look at my stand-up as I'm providing a service, a good service. You know, you came to my show and you left happier. You had a good time. You enjoyed a date night out with your spouse. I provided that service for you, right? I made you laugh as an adult. When's the last time you literally laughed out loud for an hour? It's unheard of, but you did it with me. And I love when a wife comes to me, she says, he didn't want to come. He hates comedians, but he couldn't stop laughing. He took his glasses off because he was crying. You know, that's what I'm trying to do. And if I can teach my kids to be kind is most important.
Steve, what's the best thing you got from your dad?
Ooh, I got a lot of great things from my dad. I'm very fortunate to have a very strong father figure, work ethic, you know, and I'm hammering that into my kids. My dad used to say the Trevino motto is work hard and never quit. And I share that with my son and daughter daily. You know, when I put them to bed, I say, hey, work hard and never quit. I don't care if my son or daughter, I don't care what they do in life. But if they work hard at it and never quit, I could be proud and happy. And, you know, my dad instilling in me work ethic, teaching me things like on time is late, teaching me things like, you know, you do a job and you do it well. You know, you're the first one to get there. You're the last one to leave. Right. Those are all the things that if you see somebody else working, you get off your butt and you offer to help them. you know, don't ever watch another person work while you sit. I mean, just things like that, where it all came to work ethic, you know, always be honest, be straightforward. Don't beat around the bush. You know, let people know how you feel. Be honest. If they ask you a question, tell them the truth, you know, which that did not serve me well in Hollywood. You know, they're like, hey, did you read my script? What did you think? And I'm like, oh, well, it sucked. But in my opinion, you know, but, you know, I think the work ethic, and I think the kids these days are missing that.
We all have expectations of ourselves and goals in our lives. What's the one thing that if you do, you could retire happy?
Oof. I think making sure that my kids are self-sufficient. I think that would be my goal. If I could see that my kids are going to move on in life and be healthy and happy, I think I made it. You know, money, who cares? Money comes and goes. Whether I'm doing theaters or comedy clubs, you know, my career is going to go up and down and whatever, you know, being on Netflix, whatever. But if I can look and see my kids become amazing members of society and be on their own two feet, I can sit back and go, I did it. I'm good.
It's time for One Big Question with Steve Trevino. Be on the mic. Steve, you've talked about your charity, Helicopters for Heroes. I want to give you another opportunity to plug and talk about it. In city after city, fans, veterans give back to you after you've given back supporting veterans. They give you gifts, their applause, and more. How has your life not only been enriched but transformed by not taking but actually giving back to others?
Oh, man, you know, and it's funny you say that because I tell people that, you know, because people come up to me and they go, wow, what you do is so great and what you do for these veterans is so great. But what it does for my soul, what it does for me, when I can take a break from telling jokes and being a star and just be there with these veterans. And, you know, throughout these 12 years that we've been doing Helicopters for Heroes, several veterans, this event saved my life. I was going to take my life, but I waited till this event. And now I don't want to take my life. Things like that are the things that you just go. But in turn, that makes me feel good about myself. That makes me feel enlightened and enriched and juiced up again for life. So it's a two-way street, you know, where, yes, I'm giving, but I'm also getting something in return, which is amazing. And, you know, somebody said, you know, oh, you know, money's the root of all evil. Money's the root of all evil if you hoard it. Money is amazing to have if you give it away. And I love to give it away. You know, a big habit of mine. You know, I have a pregnant waitress. She's going to get a $100 tip. And I'm not going to tell her. I'm just going to walk away. I see a group of veterans at a restaurant. I'm going to tell the waitress, bring me their check. I'm not going to tell them I did it. I'm just going to do it. You know, so you find moments like that where you can go, man, I enriched that person's life. That $100 tip that this pregnant woman got tonight changes her life. You know, she looks, you know, I've had them chase me outside. Oh my God, why did you do that? Thank you. I needed it. Or they start crying and go, I wasn't going to pay rent. You helped me do that today. You know, so those are the things that if you give your money away, you'd be surprised on how much fulfillment you get from it.
Steve, give people one last push to see you live, hear your podcast, or watch your special.
Well, my name is Steve Trevino. I'm from Gregory, Portland, Texas, a little boy with a dream to be a stand-up comedian, and it has come true. So come and see somebody that is like you, down home, family first. I got the three Fs. I have faith, fans, and family. Can't ask for any better. Not in any particular order, but come and see me. Come have a laugh. Come enjoy a beautiful evening with your spouse. And let me say all the things, fellas, that you wish you could say.
He got left alone at the daddy-daughter dance, is double-jointed, and after his tour, he'll have 38 Christmas trees to take down.
Yeah.
Coming to a city near you, it is our friend, America's favorite husband, Steve Trevino. Brother, thanks for taking the time to talk with us today.
Appreciate you, brother. Thank you.
And that, my friends, is Beyond the Mic. If you're enjoying these conversations, please check out another Beyond the Mic episode to find more actors, artists, and people you need to know. We'd also appreciate a like and subscribe on the Good Pods app.